you're hungry, because it's beef night on the Freedom Fiends.
Trigger warning, this is the Freedom Fiends Variety Hour, broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A, a mile above sea level at Intergalactic Curry Studios. This is the beef night, and we will be warming beef your locus ilius with rejuvenative
after
radio
beef
waves.
Night.
Gonna warm your brain to a tasty and toasty 365 degrees Fahrenheit to keep a sin flood of statism out of your head. Can you feel it, Michael? Are you feeling it right now?
Beef!
Freedom Fiends and other beef articulate matters are covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org. We made it. Here.
You know, I wish I were still in AA, because all I'm going to do tonight is read a list of my resentments. But that's really not what the AA thing is. In AA, you're supposed to do something about them. I'm just going to enumerate them. But I have interesting resentments.
Who do you resent? Yeah. Or what do you resent? Is it who or what?
Well, there's one resentment that's been moved to the win column, and I think the person may still resent me, but Steamiller Miller finally returned my equipment. That's all I have to say about it. After 4 months of me haranguing him to do it, he returned my equipment to somebody else that I'm going to let use it. Yeah.
All right.
I mean, I'm only mentioning that because, you know, I talked about it a bunch on here a bunch of times. So it's resolved. Yeah. So I don't have to send some dudes over to his house like I was going to. I have some friends in, where's that scary place? Not Paramus, not Hoboken.
Newark.
Newark. How'd you know?
That is because you said scary and you were naming New Jersey places.
Yeah, well, so. I know some white dudes that live in Newark, and you are a tough, scary dude if you're a white dude who lives in Newark and has lived there for over 10 years. So,
exactly.
So I can save those guys favors they owe me for other people in the tri-state area that may pee me off. So, yeah, there we go. Don't want to use favors if you don't have to, you know?
So you got some serious beef of certain people or certain
I got some
things?
Funny beefs. Let's see. Well, speaking of Millers, there's another Miller named TJ Miller TJ Miller is famous, and I'm just going to have you believe that because you're one of these people who, when I say, you watch Silicon Valley, that show on TV, right? And you're going to be like, I'm smart. I don't have a TV, right? You're one of those?
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Okay, TV. Well, it's a show. Yeah. Yeah. I have opinions about people that don't have TVs. Well, I'm fine with people that don't have cable anymore. I mean, it's ridiculous to have cable anymore. But, you know, people who don't sit down and watch episodic things, that's...
I watch episodic things.
What do you watch?
You ever hear of Stranger Things?
Yeah.
Watched all
I don't
of that.
Get that. That's the show with kitty sex in it, right? That's what I heard.
I don't think that anyone... Well, I mean, unless you mean teenagers?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, how many shows show teenagers up into the brink of almost going to have sex, and then, like...
All of them, except Silicon Valley. Silicon Valley is the only ethical show in the world. No. Not that that's unethical for teenagers to be with teenagers, but the thing I heard about that show, Stranger Things, that was kind of weird was that there was a scene where there was a very young girl, like actress 12 or 13, kissing an adult passionately, romantically, and wasn't told about it ahead of time. Like, she was on set and just, okay, we changed this. We decided you're going to make out with an adult. That's kind of creepy to do, I think. But
I'm thinking back because I watched this whole two seasons, and I'm like, I can't picture what exactly you're talking about. Was this, like, well, done and then on the cutting room floor? Because that's what I'm
probably
wondering.
After, yeah, there's a big kerfluffle about it. But I watched the first season of that and really didn't like it. So, but that's, I don't have a beef with anybody in that. I want to talk about my beef. Just establishing whether you watch episodic things. So you could watch Silicon Valley. but you don't.
Sure, I could. Yeah.
I thought you were one of these people of like, why should I watch scripted dramedy? I'm above that. I thought you were one of those people. No.
No. So you think you could dance? I've watched like reality shows like that.
Wow. I have not. Yeah. I'm better than you.
But that's because I was spending time with my daughter who liked that show. You know?
Spending time with my 96-year-old father, and that's his kind of thing. So, yes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So go to your beef, Michael. This is your beef time.
It's not a beef. It's a beef that someone had to block me. So, basically, TJ Miller is this guy who's on this thing called, what is it? Silicon Valley. It's a funny show. So I can't even remember what the joke was that he blocked me for now. It was a Hitler joke. It was, gosh, I don't even know anymore. Something to do with Hitler. What was it? Boy, this is just not even funny anymore, because if anybody knows what the Hitler joke was, tell me. Only two people saw it. Steve Miller saw this happen, and then who was the other guy? It wasn't Travis. It was some other fiend fan. Some fiend fan was watching this happen live. So I do have confirmation that this happened. But I made some joke, some Hitler joke. I can't remember what it was, but it was really funny. It was that painting. So there was this painting that Adolf Hitler did, a landscape. Remember that thing I posted?
Yeah, it's a beautiful painting.
It was a beautiful painting of a building with people walking in front of it. It wasn't stellar, but, you know, when people say Hitler was a failed painter, he failed commercially, but he was a decent painter. You know, I've seen worse, put it that way. I've seen a lot worse, and I've seen people who really consider themselves artists who, like, I am an artist who can't draw a straight line, and this guy could paint well. So it was a picture by Adolf Hitler, and it was a meme that said, Adolf Hitler was a struggling painter who never sold, who was a good artist who's never sold many paintings. And I had his painting there. And then I said, you know, just think maybe if he'd become a successful painter, you probably never would have heard of him, and that would have been good, you know, because he wouldn't have, you would have heard of him as a painter for a long time ago, but he wouldn't have.
Exactly.
Basically, if he wouldn't have killed a bunch of people if he'd, he wouldn't have gone all the way to genocide if he'd been successful. And so I said, and then I had a picture of my new record, my Biptunia is my music project. You can see where this is going. And it said, you know, Felis Bippus. It said, so buy my new record for world peace.
And that makes sense.
Yeah, you know, and I use the words world peace intentionally because that sounds so fluffy and hippie. But I think the basic joke there is buy my record to prevent genocide, which, you know, I'm not going to go genocidal if people don't buy my record. But I thought it was pretty funny. And I tagged TJ Miller in it. I tagged TJ Miller and Steve Miller and somebody else I beef and don't talk to anymore. I think it was Travis. And TJ Miller like clicked like on it and shared it. And then I posted something like that moment when TJ Miller shares your Hitler joke. And I don't know if maybe he didn't get what he was sharing, but I think he did. How did he not? You know, and I think he just went, oh no,
Random person's Hitler joke.
I'll never work in Hollywood again. And he deleted his like or his share and his like and blocked me. Like that was his response. And I thought that was kind of
like
sad.
The tactical nuke response. I'm just going to nuke everything.
Yeah. And he's actually Jewish. I looked it up. Well, according to Wikipedia, I mean, his mother had a bat mitzvah, I guess. But I thought it was really cool that he shared it. And then so then I shared from another Twitter account I have access to, the Bitcoin account, and tagged him. That moment when very funny guy TJ Miller likes my very funny joke, then realizes that having an actual sense of humor is not good for a career in Hollywood, so he blocks me. LOLZ. Hashtag, I understand, but you know it's sad. Hashtag, still wish you well. So
there you go. That was building bridges.
Yeah.
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 You extended some serious olive leaf across that chasm.
Yeah. I mean, I was like a blessing from the, you know, Jewish comedy pope for him to share that, I thought. It's so like, show, it like I just, Mel, you know, it's like somehow like the spirit of Mel Brooks touched me in special places and then untouched me.
That's a great spirit.
Yep. So I'll put these screenshots in the show notes tonight to prove this happened in case people don't believe it. So there's other beefs. I guess I could get other beefs out of the way. Do you have any comments on that beef? With some guy no one's ever heard of that you've never heard of.
Actually, it's more like I looked him up as you were talking about him, and then suddenly see, hey, I've seen this guy in other things before.
Yeah,
now he's leaving Silicon Valley, and well, this show looks pretty good if it's got him in it. That's what I was thinking.
And why did he leave it? Because he didn't like being typecast as an a-hole, as a butthole. I mean, because he is a butthole in that.
I mean, a lot of people get typecast. Look at.
Yeah.
What's the guy who plays in American Pie? That guy?
He's like 40 now and he's still playing like, you know, the clueless teen virgin. Yeah. He's Jewish.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Jason Biggs is what the name I was trying to pull out of my
Jason Big Nose. Nethers. Yeah.
I could say Nethers.
Ooh. Can you say Nethers on radio? I guess we can.
That was very forward of me.
Yes.
Yeah, so as we're closing into this, the end of this segment, just everyone out there, consider who's the next person that Michael's going to reveal beef with, because, you know, just hold that moment of tension during the commercial break is what I'm asking for.
We could be laying bets.
Yeah, I mean, I'm already putting down some large pieces of Bitcoin on this one.
So they could be, people could be throwing lots for my jacket. Too soon?
Too soon. Almost. It's not Kevin Spacey enough. So.
It's been 2,000 years. Too soon? Right.
Worms.
Worms!
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
Are you a political activist who does things that the government might not like? Then this free ebook may save your life. Rats is your guide to protecting yourself against snitches, informers, informants, agents provocateur, narcs, finks, and similar vermin. Rats was written by OG libertarian Claire Wolf. Rats is a short book, easy to read, and available free in many formats. Download Rats free at rats-nosnitch.com. That's rats-nosnitch.com.
You're like, who are you talking about during the break? Maceo Gray?
No, there was someone named Maceo Tomlin.
And Adam Kokesh. You know, in an ideal world, I would never have heard of those people. I'd like to go back to that. Is that possible? So,
yeah. I mean, there's an episode where you have the simple pleasures of Simple Rick in a wafer cookie. Yeah. You know?
So I had another beef that I'll talk about. This guy, Travis McQuigley, or Quigley. Who is he? Travis McQuigley. I don't know. I can't tell because I'm blocked. He has me blocked now. I don't have him blocked. Maybe I have him blocked.
I'm looking him up. What about Travis?
Travis McQuigley. Search on Facebook, Travis, and then MCQ, and you'll figure out. You're probably friends with him. You'll figure out how to pronounce his name. So he didn't block me well enough if he didn't block everyone I know. How do you say his name?
Travis McQuivy.
McQuivy, yeah.
I am friends with him.
Yeah. Not anymore. Right. He's going to block you as soon as he hears this. He knows you know me.
Oh, no.
He knows you're one of my spies. So Travis has been a real booster of the Freedom Fiends for years and has donated to the Freedom Fiends fairly frequently. I mean, not thousands of dollars or anything, but, you know, repeatedly $20 here and there, to the point where I'd say he's a donator to the Fiends. So he got really mad because of Millergate, not TJ Miller, but Steve Miller. And yeah. I don't know if Miller was telling things that weren't true or if something got lost in translation or what, but, you know, Travis was yelling at me about Miller, and I'm like, well, you know, I've been asking him to give this equipment back for 4 months and he hasn't given it back. And he's like, that's not the story he's telling. And I'm like, well, what's he telling? And he wouldn't tell me what it was. So, and I'm going somewhere with this, people. I'm not just airing my dirty laundry. There's a learning moment here. So, you know, I mean, I have the screenshots of Miller, like of me 4 months ago trying to get him to send this stuff back and him ignoring me. So that part's true. I don't know what Miller said to Travis, but Travis was very harmed by the fact that I was trying to get my property back and that I was going about it. Like, basically, I ended up just screaming on the internet at Miller because he wasn't, you know, what recourse do libertarians have if we're not supposed to call the cops? And, you know, calling the cops wouldn't even do any good. If I called the cops in Philly and said, there's a guy in Philly who borrowed stuff from me and won't give it back, what are they going to do? They're going to say, yeah, we'll get around to that as soon as we're done busting all the crackheads. You know, the police don't help you. So my other recourse was to get my friends in Scarytown, New Jersey. What is it again?
Oh, Newark.
Newark, yeah. My friends that live in Newark, to go over there and I won't say, you know, coerce him or demand or anything. I was just going to say, pick this stuff up for me. But before I did that, I wanted to give him a chance. So I repeatedly said for days in a row, you know, Steve Miller has my stuff. He's not giving it back. I want him to give it to my, you know, I'll even have given to my friend Al. And, you know, he didn't get around to it. So I was a bad guy because I was trying to use the only recourse that I had short of sending dudes to his house, scary dudes from a scary place to his house. You know, I wanted to try other peaceful methods of getting this done. And he wasn't responding. And then finally he responded and, you know, didn't try very hard to get it to him and finally got it to him. So good. But during all this, Travis went nuts and he got really mad at me, which is really weird because Travis and I have been really good friends. Like, not just, you know, like we've talked, we've had heart to hearts on the phone for an hour several times.
Well,
I consider him a friend. And
yeah.
So the other day, he sends me a letter, an email, a long email saying that a year ago he gave me a donation, or he said, I gave you a donation to this project. I want the money back. And he said, you know, a couple months ago, and I looked at it and it was like, it was a year and a day. 366 days ago, he'd given me, I don't even know if he gave me anything for that because he says he did, but he also sent me he sent me a transaction screenshot for Airbit's wallet for Bitcoin, and the Bitcoin address that this was sent to was an address I never had. So he just was trying to scam me, it looked like.
Whoa.
We'll have the thrilling conclusion when we get back.
Worms.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum. The Freedom Fiends now have a free app for your Android phone, tablet, phablet, or other Chrome robot turd, available now from the Google Play Store, Amazon, and FreedomFiends.com. Lovingly handcrafted by head hamster Michael W. Dean, the Freedom Fiends radio app is like having a virtual libertarian re-education camp in your pocket. It's your gateway to the exclusive, high-demand group that is the Freedom Fiends. Install the Freedom Fiends radio Android app today. It's free, and of course, it's covered by the BIPCOT no government license. And get ready for LibPair with the Freedom Fiends radio app for Android. Worms.
Freedom Fiends returns. So while Michael's going off looking for his next beef to look up.
I left my beef in the other room. During the break, we were talking about someone else who had a beef with someone else, and I was like getting emotional for him about his beef. And I'm like, wait, you got to stay focused, stay on my beef. So Travis McQuivley, is that it?
That is his name.
Yeah. Now, there's three levels of this. One is I want to talk in particular about him and why he's a bad man and why people should not be his friend. For people who know him or might run into him. In the bigger sense, I want to talk about the failure of liberty, of libertarianism, where people say that it's all, you know, Liberty 101 is contracts, is honoring your agreements, and how so many people in liberty don't. And then the other thing people say is Liberty 101 is that in the absence of governments and police enforcers, that shame would take the place of, of punishment. Like, you know, how would you keep bad actors from acting bad in a libertarian paradise with shame? And that doesn't work either, because people aren't willing to, you know, like people are like, they see the evidence of this person did something shameful and they're still friends with them, which leads to a third thing. There's actually four things here, which leads to a third thing, which is that a lot of people, what they consider friends are what I call McFriends, which are fair weather friends. I really hate how Facebook has co-opted the term friends. I think that's really crappy. I have less than 20 friends. Well, I had about 20 friends. I have about 19 friends now because Travis was one of them. And I mean, he did this nutty thing, man. He just came out of nowhere and said, you know, that I want this 0.2 Bitcoin back. Now, here's what happened. So to give full disclosure on what this donation was about. So a year ago, I had this plan to add a functionality to the cryptocurrency I co-invented, BIPcoin, not yes. Bitcoin, BIPcoin, to basically make it do what Namecoin was supposed to do but doesn't do right and has a few problems with, which is having distributed domain names that are uncensorable. Yeah. And I figured out a way to do it. I wrote up a white paper on it. I mean, a really detailed, like 40-page white paper on how to do this. And, you know, released that, did a fundraiser, raised, I don't know, probably $1,000 or $900 of credit card donations on, not Kickstarter, you know, Indiegogo.
GoFundMe. Okay.
GoFundMe. Yeah. One of them. One of those. And then also had a Bitcoin address and raised about 0.2 Bitcoins in two donations. It was like one donation was nearly 0.2 Bitcoin. One donation was hardly anything. And they added up to about 0.2 Bitcoin. So he sent me this dunning letter asking for money back and sent me proof, quote unquote. And he sent me this screenshot of, you know, money, about a little over 0.2 Bitcoin sent to an address. So I went and looked, and the address wasn't mine. So he was just pulled some screenshot from the past and said, send me this money. And then later in this, you know, when I cornered him on it and was like, what the heck are you doing? Can you read what he said, what I highlighted in this email or in this text back and forth, the screenshot?
I can't read it yet. Can you find it?
Okay, I can just read it. So,
yeah.
So in it, he said, really, it was just a test to see how you'd react. So he just wanted to freak me out. And I think that that's not something a friend does. So I told him in no uncertain terms, we're done. I also can't believe that people have friends that do things like that to them and they keep them as friends. To me, a friend is someone you can trust. It's not someone that plays with your emotions like that. And I still think he was trying to scam me for money because he sent me a screenshot that was not any exchange I'd ever had. And it didn't, and it wasn't one of the donations to that address that was the only address for that project. So for that project on the site, the only place you could go to make a Bitcoin donation with the address there, it said, If I don't raise it, you know, I need to raise $20,000 or $30,000 to get this done. If I don't raise that much, any donations will be absorbed by the Bitcoin project and used to propagate the idea that somebody more capable with more programmers on hand that have more time should do this and do what my white paper says. So basically I said, I'm not returning donations. I did not raise enough money, but I decided to return the donations anyway. So I had GoFundMe or whatever it was, like return the credit card donations. Like they all went back. And if you look at that project on that site, it says zero donations, which it had a bunch of donations, but they got returned. And then, so that's why it says zero donations. So all that money got returned. It was paid by credit card. The two people who paid by Bitcoin, I said on this show, I'll give you guys that money back if you want it, but you got to do it within, let's say, 2 weeks, because I don't want someone coming back a year from now. It's funny, too, because he said a year from now and saying, I want that money back because, you know, it'll be gone and absorbed into the project, like I said. So there were two people, as I recall, there were two people who donated. One was some amount of money. One was a tiny bit of money. And remember, 0.2 Bitcoin wasn't worth what it is now. It was worth, you know, a Bitcoin was like $1,000 then. This was like $200, not $2,000 like it is now or more. So, you know, whoever donated, like somebody donated $195, somebody donated $5 or whatever. So the person that donated the $5 wanted it back. So I sent it back and paid the fee, which is probably $5, because that's about a year ago was about when I think it started, the fee started going way up. And then the other person said, nah, just keep it. I know you do something good with it. So Travis didn't even donate to that thing. And he sent me a bill saying, you owe this back. And then when I cornered him on it, said, really, it was just a test to see how you'd react. So
a test?
A test.
That's really?
Yes.
All right.
Yeah.
Wow. I hope I don't get such a test, because I know someone donated at least I asked for 0.03 Bitcoin back in the day to, you know, pre-buy my book that I'm writing, right? Well, right now, 0.03 Bitcoin is a very expensive pre-buying a book.
You know? Oh, if you have to pay them back, no. If you pay them back, the moral thing, that the only thing they could require, I think, is what that was worth in dollars when you did it. Now, Ben, the reason I said in this a year ago when I said, if anyone wants a Bitcoin back, you know, let me know within, let's say, 2 weeks, because I don't want you coming back in a year, was because Ben Stone, Bad Quaker, somebody had donated 3 Bitcoin to him when a Bitcoin was worth $10. Hmm. And then later, like, he retired his podcast. And when he did, he said, you know, anybody who made donations this year, since I'm stopping halfway through the year, I'll give you your donation back if you want. And, you know, everybody's like, no, Ben, you've done more than, you know, people love Ben, of course. They're like, no.
Yeah, like, no, and, Ben.
Yeah, keep it. So about a year later, when Bitcoin hit $1,000, this guy who'd given him 3 Bitcoin when it was $15 worth of Bitcoin or $30 worth of Bitcoin, wrote to him and said, I want my 3 Bitcoin back. Like, I want you to send me $3,000. Like, basically, thanks for holding my stuff and not taking interest on it, but I need it back now. And Ben said, you're crazy. I'll pay you. He asked me what to do, and I said, tell the guy you'll pay him, you know, whatever it was, like, say it was worth $15, tell him you'll pay him $30, you know, like what it was worth back then, plus a little bit for consideration. And he offered the guy that, and the guy said, no, you owe me 3 Bitcoin. And Ben said, what should I do? And I said, block him. And Ben blocked him. Yeah. And here's the moral of the story. Donations are not refundable in any
way. Donations are not a contract.
Yes, and they're not a contract. You don't get a say in someone's life or project if you give them money. Here's what you do. If they don't fulfill their contract, you talk ill of them and tell people they didn't fulfill their contract. Now, I fulfilled my contract because it said on the site, if I don't raise enough money, I'm going to keep this toward spreading this project, which basically would just mean paying Freedom Fiends expenses, because I've lost money on this show for almost 2 years now. Because we have a lot of expenses. We have two streaming feeds that are $205 each per year. We have $170 a year in hosting. There's domain names. There's what else? A whole bunch of stuff. Oh, a torrent seed box. Whole bunch of little things here and there. Plus all the microphones I bought for people. Headphones I bought for people. Headphones bought for you. Right?
What Michael has paid on training hours for me alone.
Training hours. Incredible. Yeah. I don't even think of that as money. I just think of that as what I do. But yep.
He could have been making money, people out there listening. He could have been making money, but instead he was training me. I know. So
people often write me and like, hey, help me with my audio. And I'm like, what do you want to know? And they ask me a question. And I'm like, I answer the question. And I say, the first one's free. And then they ask me a bunch of other questions. And I'm like, $75 an hour. And they're like, oh, you're not fair. You're mean. But sometimes they pay it, and I appreciate it.
Got to make it, triple digit.
So Travis is a scumbag who tried to scam me. At best, he's a bad friend who wanted to test me to see how I'd react. I really think that's just what he said when I caught him. I really think he thought I would just give him the money back that he never gave me, you know?
That's just like a desperate way of, I don't know, frauding a friend?
As Bitcoin gets more and more expensive, people are getting desperate about it. That's what I was thinking, too. This might have been.
Yeah.
You know?
I think you're right.
So he's scammy. Liberty is screwed up because when you actually shame people, like people say you should as part of Liberty for not honoring their contract, and honoring contract is part of Liberty, people go, oh, whatever. Like, people tell me I'm mean. You know, people tell me to shut up because I'm trying to make people accountable in Liberty.
Well, actually, I can confirm to everyone listening out there, Michael is not mean. Look,
I'm nice.
Perfectly nice to me.
Don't cross me. I know some guys in that place in Jersey. What's it called?
Newark.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Antiwar, pro-free market. That's antiwar.com.
But hope that didn't go out of here.
Typically it does. Allegedly.
Yeah. Well, you know. Think about knowing some scary guys in Newark is they're within driving distance of most people I know, whereas not many people are within driving distance of me, and no one's within driving distance of you, except my friend Crazy Steve, but I think he's on a different island than you.
You tried to look up Crazy Steve just to see. Basically, Michael wants to know, did he have any muscle that he could actually, you know, maybe help to make any improvements in what I deliver here at the Freedom Fiends? And the answer, of course, is no. It's actually beyond expensive for him. So
it's how much does it cost? And really, like, that's what it comes down to, is it has to hurt when somebody messes up. And I don't mean sending some guys from Newark over. I mean, like, for instance, how having your credit rating ruined by something you do or don't do hurts, you know? I think that that's a really good system, and I really like it.
You like punishments and rewards as a system?
I do.
Okay.
I do.
It is
I
one
prefer
method.
Rewards, but rewards don't work with a lot of people. And, you know, the thing that was really frustrating for me about that whole situation, and the funny thing was, like, it was the second, like, the second person I'd had that problem with. Like, Lisa Fien had a computer that I was trying to get from her after she quit the Fiends in a huff to somebody else, to John Vibes, who's a Freedom Fiends co-host, whose computer was dying. And you know, she took forever, had a lot of excuses, this, that. Like, the funny thing about that and the Miller thing is it comes down to them violating and them and the community ignoring everything that libertarians say makes liberty. So, first of all, liberty is property rights. They had my property. I was returning the rights to me. I said, I want it back. They took way too long. Like, 4 months is a long time to return stuff, wouldn't you say?
It is a long time. Did you have a contract with them?
No.
Did you have consequences spelled out?
No, no, but for now on there will. Now it's going to be, you know. And people say, well, smart contracts could do this. Yeah, but smart contracts mean you'd have to put collateral on the blockchain. And these people don't have collateral, and they could just buy equipment if they had the money, you know.
I had a contingency plan in case you kicked me off the Fiends regarding my equipment. I was going to offer to pay for them.
Well, you don't have to now because you can keep it. Because I've decided with some people, I'm going to let them keep things rather than go through this again. But I'm never letting stuff out again, too. So, well, the one guy that got kicked off, the irony is the guy who got kicked off this show for communism, James Weeks, who says he's not a communist, but, you know, that's neither here nor there. He kind of is.
Okay.
He's a left libertarian, a left anarcho-libertarian. Libertarian without, what is it? Libertarian without adjectives? Anarchist without adjectives?
That's
a libertarian without consequences. That's what it is. That guy, when I fired him, the next line out of his mouth, you know, I said, well, you going to send the equipment back to me or do you want to buy it? And he's like, I'll buy it. And he PayPal'd me the money during the phone call where I was firing him, you know, as opposed to like these other guys who are not communists who might as well be because they redistributed the wealth to them by allocating it to themselves longer than is reasonable. You know, I would say 2 or 3 weeks would be a long time, but not wouldn't warrant flipping out on people, you know, 2 or 3 weeks. But I mean, the thing is, I would return stuff to people that day or the next day. Or, you know, within a couple days. It took me a couple days to get to FedEx or something. And I brought this up, and people were like, yeah, well, that's you. That doesn't mean they should have to do this. But I kind of feel like it does. And more so, I feel like not much longer than that is unreasonable, you know?
I think you want to have fiends of quality, which you define as people who would offer to pay or rather quickly ship items. Is either of those worth it, or do you need them to ship the items instead of paying? What do you think?
Oh, I'd rather they paid. I totally would rather they paid. It would have saved me a lot of trouble.
Exactly.
And it was $300 worth of stuff, you know? So when we get back, do you have more to say on this, or do you want to go on to other beefs about European women who like Austin Peterson?
That's what I want. Yeah.
You got 30 seconds if you want to give a thrilling conclusion about what's wrong with liberty here.
It's all the punishment and rewards, but there's another way that people can deal with it. It's called restitution. You know, it's called paying for things.
Yeah, these kids today don't know what that is.
Restitution. There's salvation.
All right, well, I'm done with this if they are. Those people are. But if they're not, I could talk about this every week for the next 45 weeks. So I'm going to. So we'll see. It's in the balls in your court, Miller. And
this is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've run websites since 1996 and have used over a dozen web hosts in that time. AgristHosting.com is the only one that hasn't broken my heart. Agrist Hosting's uptime and service is stellar, and their DDoS mitigation is the best I've seen. That's important because if you tell the truth in this world, you'll ruffle feathers. And some people will try dirty tricks to silence your voice. No matter what the haters hit us with, Agorist Hosting keeps our websites online. If you have a mission-critical commercial presence or a world-changing activism site, you cannot tolerate any skullduggery. So go with agoristhosting.com. Have a WordPress or blog site, but you're not satisfied with performance or uptime? Or just want raw hosting? Want to pay with Bitcoin? Agorist Hosting specializes in high-performance hosting with personalized service. Go to agristhosting.com and click on the button that says Get Hosted. That's agristhosting.com.
This is the Freedom Fiend, broadcasting through the Libertarian Re-Education Center's low-orbit ion cannon high atop Financial Beast Plaza on the artificial satellite LibPair 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. Michael, please put your purple wire into your cortex now. Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org. Are you there? So we've transcended punishment and rewards.
No, we haven't. I'm not done. So no. The in conclusion from the first hour, I think the problem with these kids today is one of two things. One is I think that in the absence of a religious society, there isn't morals. There aren't morals as much as there need to be. And I'm not saying people need religion. I'm saying that in religion, when it was done right, which wasn't all the time, people tended to, you know, try to do the right thing and abide by, people had a sense of that they would be accountable for things they do, and not necessarily in heaven or hell, but on earth. I think that religious people, for one thing, they had a sense of community with the church. You know, shame doesn't work to keep libertarians in line because they're shameless. They have no shame. Like, it works really well with the Amish when they shun somebody, because basically the person is pretty much cast out, you know, or they're in a closed environment and all of a sudden no one will talk to them. And they don't have, I can go talk to other people on Facebook because they don't have electricity.
I've seen it happen to someone here. Someone who
in Hawaii.
Yeah, they've really, really crossed the line with a bunch of men, a bunch of women all around this whole area, you know? And they were just not at all welcome in a lot of places.
Was she a prostitute?
No, this is just missing social cues and things.
I actually knew a woman in San Francisco who was a prostitute who got sober in N.A., got clean in N.A., and was still a prostitute, which is rare. I mean, especially years later. And she actually would, like, kind of work the rooms. You know, she'd hear some guy talking about, like, in the room, sharing in AA or NA, like, oh, I'm sad because I'm sober and, you know, my girlfriend never got clean and I'm alone now and I'm lonely. And she'd be like, hey, got some money, you know, after the meeting, which is really creepy. But, and she admitted it. And she said that basically, like, she burned her way through NA, so she had to go to AA. And she burned her way through AA, so she had to go back to Hawaii and burn through NA and AA there. And then came back after people basically forgotten and forgiven her here in San Francisco.
Whoa.
Yeah. And it was Hawaii, too. So I thought maybe it was the same person. Not charity. She's charging money.
No, I mean, people are charitable in these places, these groups, like NA, yeah. AA. They're very charitable people, right? You could receive a little bit of a hand up.
It's based on forgiveness. I mean, the whole program is based on enumerating your resentments and then getting rid of them and making amends to people that would have reason to resent you. Because really, that's a lot of what keeps people, you know, for all you can say for or against 12-step ideology, there's one thing that's really solid about it. There's a couple things you're solid about. One is it's a sense of community. You know, if you are strongly networked in AA or NA, if you don't show up for meetings for 3 days, people will show up at your house. You know, if you're sick, they will. If your car breaks down, they'll fix it so you can get to meetings. If you don't have a car, they'll drive you to meetings. You know, and people say, well, that's culty. Well, maybe, but it's also a sense of community. A lot of people don't have that and aren't used to it and don't like it.
That's voluntary. But,
So really,
usually.
Except when the courts order it, which really, when I ran an NA meeting, I wouldn't sign. I started an NA meeting that ran for 10 years in San Francisco. Like, it ran after I left San Francisco. It's called Lust for Life. And it was like the hipster meeting, you know, because when I came there, there really weren't hipster meetings. And it was like old people and bikers, and I was a hipster, and I needed to be among rockers to stay sober for some reason. which is kind of silly because actually, like, later after I'd been sober for a while, I realized that, you know, the old square guys with 30 years sober had more to offer knowledge-wise to me. But
sober rockers.
Yeah, that's but like... I was looking at the differences, not the similarities, as they say. So, but at my meeting, it was decided by me and became kind of a tenet of that meeting early on with that we didn't sign the court papers. You know, when people were forced to come and they'd bring the court papers up and say, you know, usually the secretary of the meeting will sign it. And usually they'll sign it and give it to you after the meeting, like you have to stay for the whole meeting. But I wouldn't sign them. And I, you know, and this is before I was an anarchist. I mean, I was still a statist. And I was like, I don't want to sign those because if you don't want to be here, you don't belong here, and it's not going to work. Well, it's not going to work for you. Not that you don't belong here, but you know, when I said there's other, and it's a big enough place that there were other meetings going on, like in the same neighborhood at the same time. So I wasn't keeping someone from a meeting if they didn't want to do that. You know, if it was a town that had one meeting once a week, I probably would have signed them. But you know, since there were options and it wasn't a monopoly, I didn't sign them, which is unusual. Most places sign them. So the bottom line with libertarians, I think, is like, A, some of them just don't know how to do the right thing because no one ever taught them. Or they're sociopaths, but I don't really think those people are sociopaths. I think they're just not very good. We're going to talk about a sociopath later, Austin Peterson, allegedly.
Oh.
Maybe. He has aspects of one, let's put it that way. But the other thing I'll say about these gosh darn kids today is I think that there's a misnomer in liberty with people believing that the non-aggression principle is the only rule in life, when in fact, it's one of two rules in life. And I wrote a whole book on this. It's called A User's Manual for the Human Experience. And it posits the idea that the only two rules in life are do not initiate or accept aggression, which is something I add to the non-aggression principle, and keep your word. That's the other rule in life. And I think that the fact that most people forget the keep your word thing, I think that the non-aggression principle allows libertarians who look at the non-aggression principle as the only rule in life to get away with everything short of murder. I mean, to literally get away with lying, stealing, cheating, everything from being tardy to like wife beating, you know, and everything in between.
Wow.
Because
so
they
condemnation doesn't work on libertarians.
Doesn't work. So really, I just need to learn to hack everyone's credit rating. No, I'm kidding. And, you know, people always say, well, there should be a credit rating for libertarians. Well, I think I've tried to start that by saying loudly over and over many nights in a row on this show, so-and-so is bad. And I've seen other people do it on Facebook and elsewhere, and nothing changes.
Well, that could be a niche market, though. You know, I mean, people could go right to you to find out who's going to be like actually honorable in arrangements. You could vet them.
Well, the people would have to think I'm honorable to do that, and a lot of people don't. People don't think I'm honorable because they think an honorable person wouldn't bash other people. But I say an honorable purple would bash other purples because if you don't point out when people are wrong, you know, that's one of the things Travis said to me was like, oh, you had to go right to Facebook, you know, with this, like, you had to tell everyone about this thing with me and the donation. Yeah, of course I did, man. I want people to be able to avoid someone who's trying to scam people. You know, I think it's your duty to tell people. I don't love duty, but I would say that if you believe in liberty and you believe that without the government, the thing that would take the place would be shunning, I think that when someone does something insane like demands money for you they never gave you, that even if they did give you, they weren't contractually obligated to get back. I think
that just creates clarity, right? So it's honorable to go out there and just bring it into the public for you know, scrutiny.
In the same way that I think that it's important for libertarians to do like take the time to review products and services and service on things like Amazon or Angie's List. You know, I order a lot of things on Amazon and I go and review a lot of them on there. And I think that's important to do because liberty people always say, you know, oh, you know, who would replace the FDA without the government? Angie's List, you know, or user reviews. And I agree with that, but it only works if you actually do user reviews. So, and I'm not going to go as far as to say I think you're obligated to do that, but I think you're a better libertarian if you take the time to regularly review things and people.
See, I just like to pick from preferences. Like, I'll make my boundaries. Those who generally keep more agreements, well, they get in on my unpaid life. And those who are a bit more sketchier on agreements, well, then it depends, you know? Like, I mean, then I'm evaluating them as a client.
Are you still
or
friends?
Or I'm not interacting.
Do you still have Travis as a friend on Facebook?
Well, I mean, I didn't see a reason to delete him. Is that, like, a requirement as being a Fiends co-host or something?
No. No, but I think...
No!
I think,
no.
I think it could be as someone who believes... Who's saying you believe in shunning and who trusts my word.
I don't remember saying I believe in shunning.
Oh, okay.
I actually have other solutions to that obstacle.
I want to hear your solutions. Do they involve guys from New Jersey?
No, it involves like investing well in cryptocurrencies. Specific investment funds.
So you have FU money. So you have FU money. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, basically, like FU in this case, meaning I'm on the beach and I'm enjoying myself, and you can just do what you want.
Although you could be broke and on the edge of ruin and still be having drinks on the beach. People talk about drinks on the beach as like, someday.
Those guys look pretty rough, man. Those guys look pretty rough.
Where, near you? Because of the beach near you? Yeah. Crazy Steve is probably down there, my friend. Yeah.
That does not look good.
Crazy Steve, I will say something. Crazy Steve is the only person who's ever physically beat someone up who was trying to harm me. I was quite impressed. I was at a show in San Francisco at a warehouse, and I was dancing in my friend Dana's band, and it was something about gay. It was like I was dancing too gay or something, and this guy came over and punched me. Didn't hurt me really bad, but tried to, but I was dancing, so I kind of like danced, you know, didn't take the full brunt of the jaw punch. And my friend Steve's, and then I just saw this blur, like a blur. And then I looked over and Steve like was on top of this guy, pinned down, almost like he was mating with him, like on top of him. With Steve had his legs wrapped around the guy's legs, his arms wrapped around his arms, and was holding his hair and pounding his head into the pavement, and there was a puddle of blood forming, and it took 12 guys to pull him off.
Beware of Crazy Steve.
Yeah, Crazy Steve.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
Hi, this is Mark Edge of Free Talk Live. Michael W. Dean's book, User's Manual for the Human Experience, changed my life. In a culture that attempts to turn you into a compliant victim, this book gives you implementable steps on everything from how to be aware of your environment walking down the street to business, to how to handle a toxic person in your life. If you're a human, you need to read this book at least once. Go to Amazon and get the Kindle version, or paperback, or an audiobook of A User's Manual for the Human Experience.
Covering all the people that could potentially be having a beef with, that's what's been going on recently, but there are many ways to solve the problems of disagreement. It's not just shaming or creating agreements. Wouldn't you say, Michael?
What? What?
I said, keeping agreements is very important, right, Michael?
Yeah, like showing up on time. But that's why I have you, so you can ad lib. I was just testing you. It was intentional that I was 36 seconds late getting back.
I figured, whatever. I know you have a show clock in the bathroom, a show clock in your secret, what is that, your safe room?
It's all safe room?
Yeah.
My safe room where the world can't touch me.
Exactly.
Where I just stroke my AK-47 and make love with it. Yes.
Yes.
That room.
Safe space. Safe space with bayonets. Yeah, that room. Yeah. Hey, have you heard about this thing? Have you seen this thing on the internet? Kratom DNA.com. You seen this?
I think.
Kratomdna.org.
I only saw the link, but I never clicked on it. So
let me make sure it's the right one. KratomDNA.org, I think. Yeah, that's it. It's somebody has sequence the Kratom genome, or sequence part of it, like more than the government has, and has released it free, like on the torrents, and is doing this as a preventative measure to prevent patents from people like Monsanto and pharma companies.
So Kratom is an herb.
What is Kratom?
That has certain potent abilities to reduce pain, which is very common for people. Right.
Yeah.
Without doing severe mind alterations or such like that. And can help people who are, hooked on opium, and they switch to Kratom.
Opium.
And
there's efforts. Opiates.
Efforts of the Federal Food and the Federal Food and Drug Administration to make this illegal.
The Federal Fool Administration.
Pretty much, yeah. So, the usual type of drama. And when you make a prohibition, then you take a commodity and you make it extra expensive. So, just saying.
Explain that a little more for the people in the cheap seats on radio who don't know about libertarian theory so well.
Well, it's not just libertarian theory. I think it's called economics. If you have a commodity and you sell it, there it goes. And then it depends on, if anyone can sell it, well, then the price can go down because then you have all these people selling it. But if you suddenly make it illegal, now it's expensive because now you have people worrying about getting caught and not as many people selling it. So now the price has gone up because now you have to deal with the product plus security of the product to prevent other people from stopping you from selling the product. That's what prohibition does. Yep.
And this is an interesting tack, too. A lot of people are saying, write your congressman and tell him to not outlaw Kratom. I'm not going to say don't do, but I'm going to say, I don't know if that's been all that effective. I mean, I guess that they were trying to, I think the DEA tried to, or was going to schedule Kratom as Schedule 1, like with, heroin last year, and they got an overwhelming response and didn't, which kind of surprised me. It really surprised me that because a bunch of people signed a petition that they actually didn't do it. My theory was just that they're still going to outlaw it, but the petition will give them a list of people to bust once they outlaw it. I'm being glib, but I was just astonished that they actually didn't. But I don't think in a million years that the DEA didn't do that because they're cool. I think they have there's got to be some other reason. Their government's not cool, man. They don't do things because people want them. They do things because they have a reason to do them.
I think they just have a lot of plans,
Yeah, they have a lot of plans and agendas. So what they did now is that different agency, FDA, is going after it. And it's not illegal yet, but the FDA has been busting a lot of imports, pallets of Kratom coming in. I just think this is an interesting bit of activism, a different tack that I've never seen before of, sequence the genome, give it away free as prior art to make it harder for someone to patent it. And I dug deep down into this website and read a bunch of it. And basically, they have to sequence every strain, because what it is there was this, a lot of people think you cannot patent a plant genome. That's not true. There was a Supreme Court thing a few years ago that said you can't patent the overall genome of a species, but you can still patent strains. So these people are going with a common strain first of Thai Red.
Listening to Freedom Fiends
Worms.
With Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
Wake up and smell the freedom. One of the easiest things you can do to help Liberty is to torrent Freedom Fiends episodes to help keep them drone-proof. You can set up your home computer to download and share Freedom Fiends archives over BitTorrent. You can even set up scheduling so it only shares while you're asleep or at work. Put your unused computing power to work and help keep the Freedom Fiends around well into the future. Simply go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Torrent Club link and learn how to torrent and share Freedom Fiends archives.
Worms. I want to do a shout out to Cell 411. Cell 411 is a great free app for Android or iPhone, if you're one of the beautiful people on the iPhone. And it allows
I've got Michael
you to,
in my cell on cell 411.
Yeah, yeah. So if
I alert
someone
him
attacks you in Hawaii, you can tell me and I'll tell you, I'm 4,000 miles away. I'll be right there.
And that's where the ICBM like opens up next to your
well,
place in Casper.
Those are in Wyoming, actually, in Cheyenne. Yeah.
Which can reach me away. Here in Hawaii, by
yeah,
the way.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what's funny? People always say, like, people are religious about Macs. You know, have you noticed that?
I noticed
Which
that.
Really, they shouldn't be. I mean, I can sort of see people being religious about Linux over Macs and Windows. But saying Mac over Windows is just saying, I like this corporation to rate me more than that corporation to spy on me. But lately, like, there have been some really severe security flaws with Mac where, like, you know, basically it allowed anyone to take root on your computer, and then they fixed it, and then the next update wiped out the fix, so it opened up the vulnerability again.
That's perfect.
And people still say, but it just works.
It's all the hidden stuff going on behind the scenes, you know? Yeah. And that's very, very true for Windows, by the way.
Yeah.
You know. The only solution is a completely wiped clean machine that's running some version of Linux.
No. The only solution is like two coconuts on a beach in Hawaii and a string.
Boy. So
wait, you live near the beach, but you're afraid to go down there because of the scary people? Is that what you're saying?
Oh, I just went down there today. I'm not afraid of going there. But all the right. people who live on the beach, who are like, I don't need to have a job. I don't need a house.
Yeah,
that's pretty scary looking.
That used to be Steve. Crazy Steve used to live on the beach there. Now he has a house and he's married. But he used to live on the beach, and I sent him mail a few times when he lived on the beach. And his address was literally something like, you know, so-and-so beach, mile marker so-and-so, green camo tent. Was his mailing address, seriously. And mail got to him. It's weird.
I love that. That's much better than general delivery.
Yeah. I don't think they do that anymore. I don't think the U.S. Post Office will send the mailman down on the beach with the scary people now.
Yeah. I know for sure not around here.
With the scary people who will put someone in the hospital if they punch Michael Dean. I was like, oh my God, you are so my white knight, Crazy Steve. Thank you. But he's also the guy that had an unsecured firearm at my house that somebody else picked up, thought was a toy, pulled the trigger on, shot into the floor, and it bounced through Steve's girlfriend's butt and came out her leg. Yeah, that happened.
Oof.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yep.
Got to secure those things.
Yeah. That girl's a bass player with a famous trance musician now. BT. Do you know who BT is?
Nope. But I want to.
People who know trance know who BT is. And BT's bass player, live bass player, Nikki Tedesco, was that girlfriend. My friend who my friend shot. Oh, Bordop just said nice. He knows who BT is, huh?
I know. Nathan? I just heard that. It was.
Was that it?
Yeah. The voice of God. You know,
he's like, wow, Nikki Tedesco got shot in your house. You're so cool, Michael. And she lived to tell about it.
Got to up the cred with the board ops. I got to tell you.
I know.
It really
helps. They know who BT is. Yep. Well, Nikki's cute. So people who like BT probably know who Nikki is. All right. So we're going to read this thing. It's a document. I have the documents. And this document is called Woman Who Loves Austin Peterson 1. Doc, and it's a transcript of an argument I had with a woman on Facebook before I fired her, before I blocked her. And, you know, this one of the takeaways with this is when you get older and you could still have a healthy love drive, let's put it that way, but you're not as insane about women. Like, put it this way. When I was 20, if the internet had been around and I were on and Facebook had been around, like, I wouldn't have blocked this woman. I would have been like, she's really cute. I'm not going to block her, even though she's crazy. But at 53, a woman has to be interesting and smart for me to not block her. So this woman was insane, so I blocked her, even though she's really pretty. Now, this is interesting because the argument was about Austin Peterson, partially, who's an American politician that this woman is a huge fan of.
Yeah.
And he's like someone who runs for office, but she can't vote for him. She's in Prague, Czech Republic. No, Croatia. And she's a really good friend with a really good friend of mine, but someone I've talked to a bunch. But this was just the final straw. So do you want to be the woman or do you want to be me? Boy, what a loaded question that is when we read this little
video. You know, you thought it would be more appropriate if I'm you to really get in the spirit of things, right? To really,
I think it'd be funnier. I think it'd be funnier.
Because
then you could do a Michael Dean. You could do me, basically, which would be funny.
I don't know what that means.
And I could do her, which would be really funny. All right.
Got it.
So
ready.
Let's see. So at 3 a.m. my time, which is probably noon her time, you know, reasonable time her time, but the middle of the night my time, woman who loves Austin Peterson writes me and says, Michael, what do you think about Hans Hermann Hoppe? I see him like this, basically. I'm not going to do her accent. Maybe I will. I am an individual with my individual property rights, but everyone else I don't like on the basis of some collectivist feature is not an individual, but an indivisible part of a collective. Winky smiley face. Okay, now Michael Dean responds.
He's misunderstood. If you think that you haven't listened to him and are going by what others say, his collectivism, in quotes, you discuss would be on private property where landowners get together and agree on rules in their communities. He gets a bad rap because he said something once that sounded racist and doesn't bother correcting everyone anymore. I don't blame him for not bothering, having myself recently been called a, quote, racist for saying, quote, Greece is a failed state, and being very called every horrible thing under the sun for saying Islam is toxic. Woman who loves,
you know,
Austin Peterson.
It's pretty insane for people. I got to interject here. It's pretty insane that I was called racist by a bunch of people for saying Greece is a failed state. I mean, that's that's a fact. I can prove that mathematically. It's not racist. And even if it wasn't true, it's not racist. Greek people are the same race that I am. So there. Well, a lot of them. All right. So woman who loves Austin Peterson said, people in the same private building can't agree on things. How are they going to agree on rules? By democratic vote? Michael Dean said,
it happens all the time now already. And then there's the link to Homeowners Association on Wikipedia. Also, I'm not the person to argue this with you. I don't have a lot invested in it. I'm just answering your question. There are a lot of people who will talk long and hard about Hoppe. This conversation is a waste of time for me. Have you ever listened to a whole talk of his? There are a lot of his talks online. If you haven't listened to him, I'd venture that you're collectivizing and being a sheep by accepting and parroting the common misconceptions of him. Go listen to a talk by him. Most people with strong opinions of Hoppe haven't heard him.
Woman who loves Austin Peterson. I'm not very fond of crackpots. And think about that right there. So this woman has a strong opinion about someone based on things she's heard from someone else. And I said, why don't you go listen to him? And she said, I don't want to listen to him because he's crazy. That's circular reasoning that cuts out reasoning right there. So Michael Dean said,
if you won't listen to him, then you're doing about him what leftists do about libertarianism. I heard that stuff is crazy. I don't need to go to the source. This makes me have less respect for you.
He is a collectivist in denial. I am not a philosopher. I am a psychologist.
LOL. Psychology is a science, allegedly. But it's anti-scientific to say, I'll accept rumors as evidence and not go to the source.
Rumors? Yes. Rumors that people tell you about what Hoppe is really about.
What?
Wait, what? She said, yes, rumors that people tell you about what Hoppe is really about. I'm busy and not putting more energy into this. If you listen to an hour of Hoppe, I think she's quoting me, or like paraphrasing me. If you listen to an hour of Hoppe, I'll talk to you after. I'm not even, oh, wait, this is me. Is this me? I'm not even a fan of the guy you're committing. Because she didn't say contempt prior to investigation. I did. All right. That's Miss All right, so that's all me. So go ahead. Say that as me. There we go.
All right. Rumors. Yeah, rumors that people tell you about what Hapa is really about. I'm busy and not putting more energy into this. If you listen to an hour of Hapa, I'll talk to you after. I'm not even a fan of the guy, but you're committing contempt prior to investigation. You're also wasting my time arguing something you don't understand. You're like people who say, I heard Ron Paul is racist. Hapa may well be racist, but his philosophy about private property isn't informed by that, and it isn't what you say it is. It's not collected.
And then she sent me a link, whereas I sent her just a link of a definition of some, you know, like homeowners association. She sent me an article, like, you must read this article. Now, you could say I'm telling her to listen to stuff and she's telling me to listen to stuff and I'm complaining that she's telling me to listen to stuff, but I'm not the one who's bringing this up. Like, I was pleasantly listening to music and she demanded things of me, which a lot of people do. I don't, does that happen a lot to everybody, or is it because I'm on radio? Like, do a lot of people, before you were on the Freedom Fiends, did a lot of people just write you in the middle of the night and demand you start talking about things one-on-one on Facebook?
You know, no.
Yeah, this happens to me a lot. You know, I think not a lot yet. Of times it's because people want to be, they want to be heard, and they think if they can convince me of something, I'll make it a subject. And for the most part, I'm not really interested in what people want my show to be. I have a website called creamyradioaudio.com where I tell you how to start your own show. So don't tell me what to do on my show. But that may not have been the case here. That may have just been, you know,
miscommunication.
She just wanted to argue with me and thought I'd agree with her. I don't know.
I think she wants to be right. She wants confirmation
there you go.
Of
there
what
you
she's
go.
Biased about.
Yeah, and she was really upset that I wouldn't just hand it to her. And she said, I admit that I have more respect for scientists, i.e. hate it, than philosophers. I don't know what that is. I don't know what that is.
And we'll come back with the redemption in the third act.
Which will be to not read more of this. No, we will. It's short.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Ever struggle for the right thing to say at a party? Want something to break the ice? Get the free Freedom Fiends Android app, Pocket Alibi. Pocket Alibi will help you have things to say. It'll replace verbal communication when you're not speaking with somebody.
I value your input.
It'll make you the hit of any party.
Not my circus, not my monkeys.
Will it work?
Not a guarantee.
It's a great icebreaker, too. Comes loaded with hundreds of original funny sayings with great voices and great recording quality. It's arranged into 7 categories. Disclaimers.
You should never do the thing I'm talking about.
Excuses.
I'm sorry, sir. An older girl told me to do it.
Advice. Fun, too.
Get off me, kitty.
Libertarian pickup lines.
Hey, baby, hold my camera while I yell at this meter maid.
State speech is hate speech.
Bark, bark for the state.
Get Pocket Alibi today on Google Play for free. Again, search for Pocket Alibi. That's Pocket Alibi, A-L-I-B-I.
Pocket Alibi, Pocket Alibi, Pocket Alibi, Pocket Alibi, Pocket Alibi.
Does this app make me look fat?
Yep. Well, I guess we can do it really quick because we promised it. So, reading the rest of this thing with this woman was really repeating more of the same thing, which is the case with most people who are wrong and you're right. So, let's do it really quick. So go ahead, Michael Dean. You're talking to this woman who loves Austin.
Right here. So just for people listening, yeah, we were right here, and basically you were saying you were being silly. It's very annoying, and I'm going to block you if you keep sending me homework without going to the source yourself. You're believing a witch hunt. I'm not nationalist, I'm not racist, but you're being collectivist by damning Hapa and wanting me to jump on the train with you without listening to him. This is a grade school argument on your part. Shut it down. You're smarter than that.
And then she said, but hate is a psychologist. You should read the article. It explains moral reasoning. Okay, whatever. And, then I blocked her. So, by the way, whatever means F you. That's like parenting 101.
Oh.
Yeah. When someone says whatever, you can always substitute F you for whatever, and it works. And that usually means that pretty much. Whatever. It means like, I don't agree. You know, I don't, it's beyond I don't agree with you. It's more like I don't I don't allow your argument is what it is. So whatever.
So there are ways of harmony to create, you know, like this less of this tension with people, right? But I mean, you can choose to interact with these people. It's all optional, right?
Well, this is somebody who's like a lot of my Mick friends on Facebook, you know, someone that I've had a lot of interactions with, but none that ever really were any kind of test of what the person is really like. You know, my problem is, one of my problems is that when someone says they're a libertarian, I take them at face value I have in the past taken them as someone I should be friends with. And I don't really believe that so much anymore. And, you know, this is kind of the thing I want to get into, of how the end is more important than the means. I recently joined this group on Facebook that was for synthesizer players, and I've recently started playing synthesizer. I'm liking it a lot. I'm making some really good music and liking playing music for the first time in years. And I finally realized that, like, nobody really wants to talk about music or even post any music they've made. They just want to talk about their gear. And that's something that I quit being on this group or just quit following it. And that's something that's come up time and time again. Like in 2006, I was on a podcasters group when podcasting was really new and a lot of people weren't doing it. And I was on there to like learn stuff. But, you know, these people were like banded together, like all for one, one for all. We're all podcasters. Where I was like, man, some of these people have some really whack collectivist leftist ideas, and I don't like what they're saying, you know? And I've always kind of been like that. I've always been not about the means, but more about the end. How about you?
It's such a mixture of the two things. I used to be really, really into the end, the ends, right? But at this point, I'm looking for a way that makes the most construction, you know, like real bridges. Instead of just throwing down and being against people, I'm looking for a way to create a connection. And sometimes it's just too much work, you know, like I'm going to throw up my hands and say, I don't want to make a bridge to that person unless they're actually paying me to do so, you know?
Yeah.
And so I look for redemption in that kind of thing. And some people, they don't want to do business with me. They don't want to get cryptocurrencies. They don't want to have that. And here's that. I'm looking at my ticker right now. $11,758 for a Bitcoin. You know, $102 for a Litecoin. Remember when people were laughing at Litecoin? Remember back when you had Litecoin? You know,
I bought a bunch of Litecoin at $3 several years ago and sold it a week later at I bought it at $3 and sold it at $9 and made like $100, you know, for nothing. For what I was like, man, I've really done well with this cryptocurrency stuff.
Yeah. So for everyone out there,
I should have taken out a bank loan on the house and bought 30,000 of them and hodled them for 5 years.
2020 hindsight.
2 years. I know.
But here's my tip in case and not financial advice. Just put whatever you can into the top 10 market cap coins. Done. Wait 4 years.
Except Myota. It's broken. It is. It took me like 6 hours to cash out $300 worth of it. It's horrible.
It's been a pleasure doing a show with you, allegedly.
Yeah. I'm free of resentments now. Until everyone hears this and starts making resentments to me. No, I'm kidding. I could do 80 more shows about these people, but I don't think I'll need to.
It's all solid.
I have a clean slate right now. Yeah. Not tonight. Worms.
Worms.